Welcome to the 5 in 5 Healthcare Technology Series. 5 healthcare-related questions asked and answered in 5 minutes. Today we're considering telemedicine. I would like to welcome back Dr. Joseph Kim, President of MCM Education and founder of multiple mobile health and health IT websites, where he has an impressive web following and is also one of the top 10 physicians to follow on Twitter. He holds degrees from MIT, University of Arkansas College of Medicine and UMass Amherst School of Public Health. Hello again, Dr. Kim.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Dr. Kim, has the overall impact of telemedicine changed over the past 3 years, do you think?
It's changed dramatically because of the increased bandwidth that's making telemedicine a viable option for so many people. We know that telemedicine is cost-efficient. It allows patients immediate access to medical professionals through video and photos, and it's still being used to provide specialist care to rural community hospitals. You know, traditional telemedicine relied on expensive, sophisticated cameras and video equipment. But today, we're seeing remote care delivered through mobile devices that have built-in cameras. And so the impact is much broader. The possibilities for the future are really endless as hardware and software technology advances at an amazing rate.
Technology has certainly enabled wonderful advances in the application of telemedicine. But what would you say is the major obstacle standing in the way today?
There are two big major obstacles today. I would say the first one is medical licensure, and the second one is physician reimbursement. Medical licensure laws are governed within each state, and many states still require doctors to physically see a patient before treating that patient. And many states also require doctors to have an active medical license within the state that the patient resides. There's a website called fixlicensure.org where the American Telemedicine Association is working hard to promote change and eliminate some of these licensure barriers. The other major barrier revolves around reimbursement, and we're actually seeing health plans, hospitals, and even some startup companies developing very creative models to reimburse physicians for the time that they spend interacting with patients through telemedicine technologies.
Another aspect of safety would include encryption, presumably. Could you update us on this with regard to telemedicine?
So encryption is required to protect personal health information, or PHI. And encryption must exist both at the level of the network connection and also within the video communication platform. And this is important for both the patient and the provider to keep in mind, since patients may be using non-encrypted networks at home. You know, as broadband video transmissions become much more data efficient, we're going to see wireless video capabilities becoming available in many, many market segments. And soon, the standard of care for patient-doctor communication in the middle of the night or on the weekends will be video communication.
How can telemedicine be utilized to help reduce hospital readmission?
This is one of the biggest areas of development. And first, we have to remember that, you know, it's important to identify the patient who is at high risk for readmission. And we have scoring algorithms that can do that. Then we can select from a number of home monitoring solutions that include telemedicine communication components. Health insurance companies are willing to pay for these services, especially for high-risk patients, because when they're used properly, they can save significant amounts of money by preventing a single hospital readmission. You know, HP scientists have actually developed a suite of remote patient monitoring technologies for conditions such as atrial fibrillation, congestive heart failure, and COPD. Combination of home monitoring equipment and telemedicine platforms, they're allowing clinicians to analyze a wealth of data around a patient, identify trends and patterns that may be suggestive of disease exacerbation, and intervene. You know, this is especially true for conditions like CHF, because you can actually visually see the swollen legs or the edema. Or in the case of COPD, you can actually see the type of sputum production that the patient has and more accurately assess disease severity.
How easy is it for a physician to get started in telemedicine?
So on one level, it's very easy to use modern technology to improve patient care through telemedicine. You know, the reimbursement barrier still prevents some physicians from diving in. But as I mentioned earlier, there are companies providing unique models to address this. And I personally know several physicians in private practice who are independently using telemedicine very successfully. Some of the newer companies are actually recruiting doctors to provide telemedicine on call. For instance, a patient might have a headache, that patient might log in to a web portal, and from there, that person is directed to headache specialists around the country who are ready to consult and treat that patient. There's also a very inspirational story about a doctor in Afghanistan who carried an HP laptop around as he backpacked through the snow and treated patients in small villages. He was tracking the spread of diseases but also wirelessly connecting in and treating these patients remotely. So while the regulatory issues surrounding telemedicine are not mature right now, I believe they will catch up as we see more opportunities to provide care in an efficient and cost-effective manner.
Thank you so much for your valuable insights into telemedicine, Dr. Kim, and I'll look forward to chatting with you again soon.
This recording is being sponsored by Hewlett-Packard. However, opinions on products and services expressed are those of the healthcare professional being interviewed.